Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Zurian Show. As always, I hope that this finds you in the best of health, wealth, and happiness. As for me, I'm doing fine. Today's show, we're going to talk about habits, and we're also going to talk about relationships and how the two kind of come together. So basically, if you're somebody that's having some problems with, let's say, your relationship, or you're having some problems understanding how, we'll say, your other half thinks, this show may be helpful to you. Please understand that this show is basically my overall observations. Also, some of the information is from different things that, you know, I've picked up from other people, other writers, things of that nature. I am not a psychologist or a relationships guy. I'm just giving you some of the information that may be useful to helping you figure out what's going on with you. Habits and relationships, where do you fit? Habits and relationships. Habits are very powerful. A person's habits can be of great use to them in the present, and they could also be a freaking problem in the long run or as time goes on. Some of those habits are the things that made you the person that you are, but all of those habits were learned. You know, and all of us start off as pretty much a clear slate. We start off without any real problems or issues. It's our environment and how we respond to our environment that dictates how we see things. And a lot of that has to do with our social interactions with other people and, you know, basically our overall role models, because those are the people that kind of guide our thought patterns. Those are the people that we experience and we take all of the things that we learn from and then turn them into what we are. You know, everybody's a product of the people around them. Again, sometimes those products are good, sometimes those products are bad. Again, as I've said on many occasions, you can get two kids that are born in the same house with the same parents, go to the same school, have the same teachers, and grow up at the same time and be totally different. Well, the same thing goes for your habits. Your habits basically control your life. However, you should work on trying to control your habits, especially when it comes to something like relationships. Relationships are difficult at best, but a lot of that difficulty is created by us. It's not really that the relationship is hard. It's that we bring so much other stuff, so many habits, so many bad habits to the table. Also, another thing that really throws a lot of us is that some of the habits that we have that have made us the, let's say, powerful or knowledgeable people that we are in a relationship may not be good for the relationship. They're good for business. They're good for leading a team or something like that, but they're not good for the other things. Plus, we're going to talk on the fact that men and women as a whole are wired differently. And when I say wired differently, I'm talking about not necessarily wired differently. I'm talking about the fact that we see things a lot differently. We look at things and we come up with a different conclusion even though we see the same thing. I kind of look at it as a gossip mill. You know, the story happens at this end, but by the time the interpretation is done, it's a totally different story. So there's a lot of things that I'd like to actually talk about. But relationships are also the fuel. They're the substance of our existence. All of us are in a relationship, every single one of us. Whether you're in a love relationship, whether you're in a work relationship, whether you're in a relationship with the person riding with you on the train, you're in some type of relationship. You're dealing with each other. You're interacting. And from that interaction, we're going to have an effect. There's a cause and effect. So, first off, when I talk about relationships, my main emphasis in this particular show is a couple. However, this show is not just for the couple. This show is for any and all interactions that all of us have throughout our lives, because we all have to interact with people, and how people believe and perceive us is very important. Again, it may not matter to you what somebody else thinks, but it could really matter to you what somebody else thinks, because you don't know who's sitting next to you. You don't know who you're sharing a bus ride with. You don't know who knows the other person or how they are going to be involved in your life or interact in your life at a later date. There's people who have known me for years, but I've never known them. And when the chance came, they either were my advocates or they were not my advocates. You know, but a lot of it was based on how they perceived me, even though I didn't even realize that those particular people existed. So human interaction happens on many different levels. So again, when I'm talking about relationships for this particular program, I'm talking about relationships across the board, but my emphasis is actually on couples, families, and social interaction with other human beings. So don't just take it as one thing. Okay, going forward, we're going to talk about habits, we're going to talk about relationships, we're going to talk about we are all wired differently, we're going to talk about competition, we're also going to talk about showing up. And when I say showing up, we'll get to it and you'll understand. We're also going to talk about the three C's. The three C's are commitment, communication, and caring. Those things are very important in any relationship, and how people perceive those things as you're doing them is also going to be very important to you in your success, not only in a physical relationship, but in a social or work environment. So we're looking at the scope, the quality, and all of those different things when we interact with people. Here's a story, quick story. Let's say you and your significant other, male, female, doesn't matter. Well, we'll look at it as you're a guy. You're a guy, you're driving along. Your wife says to you that she's, no, I'm sorry, let's go back. We're driving. You're in the car. If you're hungry, guys, what do you do when you see the sign that says food next exit? Answer, you pull over and you get food. You don't ask for permission. You consider it a no-brainer. You pull over. Why? Because you're hungry. Ladies, you're hungry. What do you do? What do you normally do? And this, of course, doesn't count for everybody, but on the average, what ends up happening is that the woman poses a question. The question is, are you hungry? Guy's not hungry. What does he do? He keeps driving. Why? Because he wasn't hungry. So he didn't pull over. Now, for the guys, you're like, okay, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. However, for the women, you know that he was supposed to read your mind. He was supposed to come to the conclusion through osmosis that because you said, because you asked him, was he hungry, he was supposed to take from that that you're hungry and you want something to eat. Let me tell you right now, ladies, 99% of the time, the guy is not going to get it. In the meantime, now the guy is in trouble. Why is he in trouble? Because, again, he didn't read your mind and care enough about you to know that by you asking him, was he hungry, you were telling him that you were hungry. He didn't get the double message. Now, I'm not saying that either one of the sexes is wrong. I'm not saying anything of the sort. All I'm saying is that in order for you to have a relationship, you have to understand what the other person is saying. Now, ladies, what it would really be helpful is if you were more clear in what you said. So basically, if you spoke your truth. If you're hungry, say, honey, I'm hungry. Could we pull over at the next stop? Don't ask a question. Make a request or make a statement. And then you will get what you need. You will get what you want. You will get what you desire. That other game doesn't work. I understand it may work when you're talking to other women, but guys will not understand it. And again, I'm not faulting either of the sexes. I'm just trying to share something with you that you may find helpful in your future communications. Perfect example. Guy is supposed to take the garbage out. Guy forgets to take the garbage out. Wife has gotten on him several times about forgetting to take the garbage out. Guy figures, I'll take the garbage out when I get home. It's not a big deal. However, how does the wife look at it? Again, not in every situation. She looks at it as, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. The garbage isn't being taken out. I've asked him 50,000 times, but his mind is elsewhere. A man's mind is mostly like a computer. It looks at a logical way of doing things, and then it goes ahead and tries to find the series of necessary items it needs to do those. A woman's mind, we'll say creative. it's a little bit more able to adjust to different things. As one speaker said some time ago, said that a man's mind is kind of like a straight line. All right, it's task orientated. It knows that in order for it to get from here to here, it needs to do this. However, women are more like syrup. You have a whole bunch of different waffle squares that you can fill at any time. You can multitask a lot better. You don't need that focus. For a perfect example, you've got a man. You ask your husband in the middle of work while he's busy doing something to bring home milk. Ladies, on the average, does he bring home milk? On the average, he probably doesn't bring home milk. Why? Because he was in his line. He was in his waffle square. He was stuck. He was stuck in that waffle square, and because he was in that waffle square and work or the particular task was on his mind, that's where his focus was. You interpret it as, he's not listening to me, he's not paying attention. What it is that, again, you guys are wired differently, and we're wired differently because we're brought up differently. But women, you're like syrup. We can pour you all over the place, and you can fill all the waffle squares, and you can take care of everything. You're multitasking constantly. You're having a conversation about one thing. You're thinking about three other things that happened and how you need to do this and how you need to do that. Again, nothing wrong with either one. However, having an idea of how the two work can help you to improve your overall relationship, even at work. All right? Another thing with women. Women are more personal. They will ask questions of more of a personal nature. Men usually will not. Men may ask men a question of a personal nature, but it's usually to be a knucklehead or to be a clown. Where women will ask because they're trying to socially interact. Why? Because on the average, again, not all, women seem to be more socially adept and able to deal with certain things. So that's just a quick touch on what I was talking about. Women, ladies, we need to find a way to meet your needs. And the best way for you to do that, again, is to speak your truth, to ask for what you want. And I'm not saying being rude or anything like that, but I'm saying share with the person that's with you what it is that you need so that they can fulfill that need. Don't assume that they're going to assume that they understand what you're saying or that they're going to be able to read your mind. You're setting yourself up for failure. So if you ladies are a little younger and you're not really into the whole relationship game yet, now's the time to do it. Now, again, remember that this applies on all levels. Realism. We all need to be real. We all need to be truthful with each other as we do things and as we move forward. Laughter and humor. We need to have some laughter and some humor in our lives. Ladies, there is absolutely, positively nothing wrong with smiling. All right? I understand we have a work persona and we have a home persona. But your work persona should not be nicer than your home persona. All right? Same thing for you guys. All right? I understand if you work in a service industry, you smile, smile, smile. However, remember the person that's beside you is supposed to be somebody that you care about. So you being able to smile at them should happen a whole lot more readily, and it shouldn't have to be forced. Family. Family is very important. And if you have a strong family, and a strong family base, then what you're doing is you're strengthening your ability to deal with the lions, tigers, and bears out there that each and every one of us have to deal with. We all know that work isn't exactly always the most productive and friendly place. However, it is a place that most of us need to go to until we can find our dream and live our dream and start doing the things that we want to do so that that's no longer something we have to deal with. Here's a question. Which is more important, ladies and gentlemen? Which is more important? To love a person? Would you consider that to be the number one thing that each of us needs to do in order to be in a relationship? Do you really, really, really think that love is the most important thing of all? Most people will say yes. I don't believe that. Do I think that love is important? Yes, I think that love is important. However, I think like is more important. Because if love was so important, then guess what? You would have a wife or a husband or a significant other longer than you have a friend. Most of us have friends who have done things to us that we would probably half kill somebody else for. However, we have a wife, or some of us are on our second, third, fourth, fifth wives or husbands. Like is more important. And because if you like a person, sometimes you can get around some of the craziness. If you love a person, some people that love each other, they're like 5 seconds off killing each other. And the way that they treat each other in their relationships, loving each other is their worst thing. Why? Because they do so many people harm. Look at all of the violent divorces. Look at all of the violent separations that happen in the name of love. Look at all of the people that won't leave each other that don't even need to be in the same room or the same state. That's love. Again, is love very important? Yes, it is. I'm not disputing that. However, I think liking that person and having a strong like for them is going to help you to have a stronger and a more resilient and flexible love with them. And I'm not saying flexible as in you're sharing them with somebody else or any of that other stuff. What I'm talking about is that you have a friendship with that person, not just a physical relationship, not just a monetary relationship, not just something based on something that's going to fade, but something that's based on something that's real. And a real relationship should start with a real friendship. And from that friendship, hopefully it grows. And if you have any questions about that, look at some of the countries where the wives are actually picked for the husbands. Statistically, their success rate is actually higher, you know, because people have looked at the compatibility and all of those things. So some places where they have arranged marriages, those marriages actually have more success than where they don't. You'll have to look up the statistics for that yourself. I'm not providing them today. But again, like, I believe, is one of the more important things, because like comes by choice. Love, most people don't see love as a choice. They see love as a responsibility. They see love as a commitment. But the commitment should be by choice. We're human beings. One of the main things that makes us different from the animals is what? Choice. Okay? All right, the next thing. In a relationship, you always have a yin and a yang. You have a person that is a giver, or you have a person that's a taker. You have people that take control. There are different levels of control. There's different levels of communication. There's different levels of interaction. If you've got a person that's more passive and you've got another person that's more aggressive, eventually what's going to happen? Eventually the passive person is going to become what? Resentful. Why? Because they're always being told what to do. They're always being directed. If you've got somebody that's always directing and doesn't really want to direct, sometimes they want to sit back and not have to make the decisions. What happens? Now it's the reverse. What ends up happening in both relationships, if you have two people that are either side of it, there is some regret, unless you've got a person that's a total control freak and doesn't want anybody to make any decisions and doesn't want anybody to do anything other than what they say. Either way, you're setting yourself up for failure. A perfect relationship should be a shared responsibilities relationship. On occasion, one can make the decisions. On occasion, another can make the decisions. But technically, together, they make the decisions. That's a relationship which is not seen too often. Most of the time, it's either a strong take relationship or a strong give relationship. And that balance isn't there. The responsibilities aren't shared. A perfect example, or kind of an example of this, is kids. What do kids do? In the beginning, especially with new parents, they play the two parents against each other. If mommy says no, we ask daddy. If daddy says no, we ask mommy. Again, what happens? The two parents end up fighting unless they have a strong relationship. From that strong relationship, what do? They go to the other one and say, hey, such and such said you said this, 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 and this. No, I didn't say that. I said this. Okay, now you know that your kid is playing you. Unfortunately, we get a lot of adults, especially sometimes in the workplace, where we have people that believe that they're totally super intelligent. However, there's another person pulling their strings, and they don't even realize it. I'm actually going through something like that right now, which is quite interesting. But that's life, and that's how the cookie crumbles. Okay. Levels of communication. There's different types of communication, and those different types of communication also go with those different types of attitudes. First off, nobody is supposed to be the victim. This is supposed to be a relationship. This is supposed to be communication. Communication is the key to having a solid and structured, solid, structured relationship. That communication and those types of communication are going to help you to be able to move forward. Understand, nobody is right and nobody is wrong. We need to come to a general consensus or agreement amongst us to decide what it is that we want to do, and we're supposed to do that with the best for the whole, not for any one individual. Also, we need to understand that different people have strengths. Let's say the husband is not a writer, the wife is. Well, guess what? If you guys want to have a good relationship and you want to communicate, grow, and live from the fruits, then what you need to do is that, ladies, if he's a great thinker but you're a great writer, listen to what he's thinking and write it. Work together and use your strengths as a team. Balance out each other's weaknesses by balancing out each other's strengths. How do you do that? You do that by sharing the information and the responsibility. Not downing that person, not belittling that person, not telling that person they're stupid or they're slow or you don't understand why they're doing this or why they're doing that. The conversation needs to be had, but it needs to be had in a respectful manner, in a respectful tone. And you cannot throw sarcasm and all those other things in there. The quality of your relationship is something that we all need to work on. Here's a perfect example. Okay, we've got a couple. The lady says that she's having a relationship. Having a relationship makes your relationship a thing. It makes it a possession. It makes something that's ownership. Two, somebody saying, yes, I'm in a relationship. In a relationship is a state of mind. It's not a thing. It's not a possession. So just that simple way of looking at your relationship could be very powerful in how you deal with things. Again, are you having a relationship or are you in a relationship? Again, in a relationship is a state of mind. It's a state of being. Having a relationship is a possession. It's a new car. It's a house. It's a ring. It's a piece of jewelry. Okay? So again, that's just another way of looking at it. Types of relationships. When you're looking at the different types of relationships, I truly believe that there's only really three types. There's the relationship that you have with yourself, there's the relationship you have with others, and there's the relationship that you have with God. Now, of those three relationships, which one is the most important? The one that's the most important is the relationship you have with yourself, because from that, your relationship with the other two becomes even stronger, becomes even more powerful, and becomes even more of something that you can mold and adjust to give you the things that you're looking for. Again, habits are a strong thing. However, we need to get rid of habits that don't serve us. We need to use the habits that do serve us and figure out the things that don't and how to change them. Now, in one of my other shows, I talked about habits. Now, in order for you to change your habit, I'm not saying that you need to get rid of an old habit. What I'm saying is that you need to pick up a new one. So you need to concentrate on the new habit that you want to create or the additional habit that you want to create and then focus on that and don't focus so much on the old habit. And as time, if you truly are determined to do this, those habits will change to the habits that you're looking for. Relationships should not be seen as a habit. If you see your relationship as a habit, understand that a habit is something that you do automatic. It's not something that you think about. It's not something that you put thought into. It's something like tying your shoes. You're dealing with another human being. So if you're dealing with another human being, it can't be an automatic response. All right? Each response has to be individual because each individual is individual. Your responsibilities in a relationship, you both have responsibilities and you're both responsible for your own actions. However, remember, what happens to you, you can't change. How you deal with it, you can. You are not your circumstances. So if something happens in your relationship, it doesn't matter if it happened to your brother, your sister, your cousin, your aunt, your mother, grandmother, whoever. What matters is how you deal with it and how you feel about your relationship and the quality of your relationship. Stop waiting for the other person to change. Ladies and gentlemen, the other person is not going to change. The only way that they're going to change is if they want to change. You can turn blue in the face, you can jump off the Empire State Building, You can run a marathon. You can climb a mountain. You can swim the seas. Stop waiting for that other person to change. In order for things to change, you must change. If you're not willing to change, then how can you expect anybody else to want to change or to even believe that they can? Take control of you and understand your relationship. Also understand that any relationship, just like any marriage, just like any job or anything that you want to do, be it that you want to be the next Olympic swimmer or what have you, it's going to take work. It's going to take work, and you've got to be willing to put in the time and put in the work to make it work and to make it to become what you want it to become. In the end, it's going to be more than worth it. More than worth it. Please also keep in mind that if one person wins, then that means somebody had to lose. So if one wins, the other loses. That's just the way it works. Why? Because most of us are so busy looking at us, me, me, me. We don't understand that we can both win as long as we're willing to meet in the middle and come up with a solution that's going to help us. Fighting. For a long time, fighting with your significant other or world co-workers or whatever. If you're going to fight with somebody, make your fight what I would call a productive fight. What's a productive fight? A productive fight is where in the end you get something out of it. If you're fighting, make sure you know what you're fighting about. A lot of people get into an argument and they get into an altercation, and in the end they don't even know what they were fighting about. Also, make sure that whatever it is that you're fighting about is really what you're mad about. It's what you're fighting about. Don't start one argument because you're pissed off about something else. Don't start one altercation because you're pissed off about something else that happened before or after or what have you. Stay focused on what you're going to do and make that argument productive. Get something from it. Don't yell, scream, and holler and get nothing from it. Don't do evil things that aren't going to get you what you want. Also, understand that if you fight a person, instinctively that person is going to do what? They are going to fight back. If two people are fighting, you are going to get damage, be it if it's emotional, be it physical, or be it mental. So, stop doing things that are going to be counterproductive to your overall goal. Husband won't come home or doesn't come home in a timely manner. Doing stuff to the kids is not going to help you. Having an attitude is not going to help you. Ladies, understand that if your husband or significant other wants to do something and then you decide as a punishment you're not going to talk to him, that's probably what he wanted in the first place. Why? Because he wants his needs met, whatever those needs may be. Most times, if you stop talking to your significant other, he's not going to know for hours. It's just like when I was talking about the food thing. On the average, your significant other isn't even going to realize that you're having an argument with him. Because technically he doesn't want to know. Why? Because he doesn't want to argue. Why? Because he doesn't realize that he's even in trouble in the first place. Is he probably stupid? Yes, he's probably stupid. But he's not stupid. Again, it's the fact that we're wired differently. So, don't start something you can't. Don't put yourself in that conundrum. All right? Life is about changes. In order for you to make the changes, you have to do what's real. Ladies, bit of advice, be real, all right? And again, it's not too hard to smile. Share your love. Do the things that you need to do. Guys, you need to show up, okay? You're supposed to be someplace. You need to be there. You need to do the things that you're supposed to do. The three C's are commitment. We all need to be committed to each other. Communication. We need to talk and we need to have open communication that is positive so that we can get what we need to get. And the other thing is that we need to care. If we show that we care, we show commitment, we show all of the other things and we communicate, then guess what? We're going to have a beautiful life. Don't let anybody get in your way. Live your life, live your dreams, and live them together. Communication is the key and you can do it. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to The Zurian Show. And as always, I want to thank you for spending a little bit of time with me. And I hope that the information I shared was useful to you and yours. Take care and be well. Today is now. Take care.